to love about the Thanksgiving season. Intentional gatherings with people we love, complete with lots of good food, colorful creation, the liveliness of gratitude. Gratitude, which is at the heart of Christian worship. Each time we gather together, we are reminded of what matters most in our lives, and that what matters most are actually gifts. And of course, where there's a gift, there's a giver. The love and grace and generosity we experience continuously, the beauty of creation that surrounds us, are all gifts from our Creator God. But suffering, gratitude for suffering. In the midst of this dense letter of Paul to the Romans, in the midst of his mention of weighty theology and doctrine, justification by faith, peace with God, standing in grace, sharing in the glory of God, in this season of Thanksgiving, it is good and right that we focus on Paul's experience of being grateful for suffering and the gifts suffering can bring. Even in the midst of the shocking brutality in Israel-Palestine, it's good and right that we acknowledge that God delights in bringing goodness out of suffering. For suffering is not the worst thing that can happen to us. Refusing to love is. Let's begin with our personal gratitude. So Thanksgiving is a wonderful mile marker from which to look back over the past year with our mind's eye and focus on the events and the experiences that stand out. Intentionally thinking back with the eyes of gratitude to count our blessings. This spiritual practice has a name. Examine. E-X-A-M-E-N. Examine. And I experienced it long before I knew it had a name and a history. I taught high school choral music in South Carolina back in the day. And as you know, Thanksgiving is a big holiday in the States. To celebrate in my classroom, I began a tradition that on the day before Thanksgiving, we'd put the chairs in a big circle and go around the circle with a talking stick sharing what we were thankful for. And then we'd do it again, around and around, until the bell rang. Without fail, in every class, every year, whether it was my top group of senior students or my beginning choirs, the sharing started predictably with gratitude for family and friends. You know, awkward teenagers, thankful for my friends, thankful for my family, thankful for my friends. Thankful for my family. And then, as we went around time and time again, they went deeper and deeper until kids were sharing really tough stuff, really painful things. And it wasn't until I started studying Christian spirituality in graduate school that I discovered the power of this spiritual practice, examine, and why painful memories often come out of the safe space of giving thanks. Our scripture this morning points to this strange friendship between gratitude and suffering. The Apostle Paul is not referring to bragging when he writes, "We also boast in our sufferings," but rather of being grateful even when we're suffering. Rather than a trite suggestion, "Don't worry, be happy," he's referring to tough truth, tough love. For in reality, when pain is involved, we are often more open and able to notice God bringing goodness out of evil. Paul was in a Roman prison when he wrote this letter. He was living the reality. He was living the reality, and I'm going to quote another Bible translation here, that troubles can develop passionate patience in us. And that patience, in turn, forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. In alert expectancy such as this, we're never left feeling shortchanged. You see, troubles get our attention, and with alert expectancy, we look for what God will do next. Such energy, energy that moves us from the role of passive victim in our suffering to that of active learner and participant in God's goodness. In practicing the examine, we are actively remembering in the presence of God. And in a prayerful space, we become aware of both what we're grateful for and what we're not. In the broader Jesus story, we see God ultimately bringing goodness out of evil and suffering. Jesus is horribly misunderstood by both the religious and secular power brokers. He's betrayed by a friend. He's falsely accused and unjustly and cruelly executed. And yet, the grave cannot contain such goodness, such godness. Death doesn't have the final word, friends. Suffering is not the worst thing that can happen to us. Refusing to love is. New life, resurrected life, springs from the death of this God-man. And 2,000 years later, we're gathered here in this place in Christ's name. Let's be clear, though. This resurrection life in which love is stronger than injustice. Do you hear what I just said? Do we believe it? Love is stronger than injustice, stronger than death. But listen, it's not easy. It's not cheap. And it involves our cooperation. For we human beings are free to choose another way. We can respond to evil with more evil. Violence with violence, apathy with apathy, misunderstanding with misunderstanding. We can resist the Jesus way of radical generosity, which involves letting go of control and power, letting go of control and power, trusting, opening up to the transforming grace of God that loves and accepts us just as we are. The transforming love of God that is stronger than fear. In the context of gratitude, we discover that goodness is stronger than malice, love is stronger than fear, life is stronger than death. Because when we are doing an examine, we see that suffering is often lurking close to the gratitude. Just as my high school students discovered, love and pain go together. Oh, I wish it weren't so. I wish I could tell you that the more you love, the less pain you'll feel. But here in this place of all places, here in the presence of the cross, we must be honest. Love is costly. Love can hurt. Let's pause for a moment and take a deep breath, for we need courage to continue on this road less traveled of paying attention to suffering, leaning into it rather than intellectualizing it to death, or shoving it so deep inside us that it creates a logjam Sounds counterintuitive, doesn't it? That practicing gratitude leads us to the reality of suffering. Gratitude is powerful, though, and it doesn't leave us there with the suffering, but it can ignite a flame of grace that can mysteriously transcend evil with good. We're talking about the upside-down, inside-out kingdom of God that Jesus taught and lived, where the last shall be what? First. And the first shall be last. Where it's the poor in spirit that are blessed. Where we're to pray for our enemies. The Jesus way is not moralistic. It's not an institution. It's not about being right, successful, powerful, or safe. Oh, we church folks have tried, haven't we, to tidy up, to clean up, to socialize, to even weaponize the Jesus way into a safe, secure status quo that suits us in the pews. Thank you very much. Lord, have mercy on us. The status quo is not sustainable, nor is it good enough. COVID exposed the not good enough of health care and education, and if we're willing to face reality, also how we do church. We of all people have the resources to respond with courage and creativity to this post-COVID challenge, and I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about Christian spirituality. The ancient spiritual practice of examine exposes the rock bottom reality in our lives of faith that's spoken of at the end of verse 5 in our scripture passage this morning. The love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit that's been given to us. Did you hear that? The love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. The love of God revealed most fully in the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's the love of this God that is the ultimate judge of whether suffering is painful and good or painful and bad. Now, this is going to get even more challenging, so stay with me. Good suffering? Bad suffering? Love? God is love. In God's very essence, in the traditional language of Father, Son, and Spirit, God's very essence is the communion of love that we are invited into. When we intentionally practice the wise, loving presence of Christ in the practice of gratitude, we share the wisdom that exposes goodness for what it is, even if suffering is involved. Let's look more closely at this good and bad suffering in light of the love of God. First, healthy pain. Healthy pain? Well, we experience healthy pain, the healthy pain of love, when we choose to undergo a surgeon's knife for love of our health. We choose to undergo a counselor's uncomfortable questions for love of our children's mental health. When you encourage Reverend Bruce and your board to focus on the good of us all, both inside and outside these walls, even when it's not to your personal liking. When we remember events that aren't comfortable or pleasant in the presence of God and in examine, we discover that we're grateful for them, even though they involve suffering of some kind. Suffering is not the worst thing that can happen to us. Refusing to love is. So that's healthy pain. Now, unhealthy pain. Yeah, this might be a bit more familiar. We experience bad pain when we lash out with impatience and scorn at someone who disagrees with us. When we unfairly criticize, harshly judge, when we refuse to stand with and for someone who's being abused. We experience bad pain when we're attacked by someone who disagrees with us. When we're unfairly criticized, harshly judged, when we're abused. As we remember events like these intentionally in the presence of God, we are not grateful for them. They're not good. But there is gold to mine here in this suffering. And we discover, even if it takes weeks and months and years and decades, that the deep, deep reality of God's love is ultimately stronger than suffering. Suffering is not the worst thing that can happen to us. Refusing to love is. Refusing to love is a one-way ticket to painful, unhealthy suffering. And we need help with our loving, don't we? Let's be brutally honest here and admit that we have a love problem. I know I do. We don't love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We act like atheists most of the time. We don't love our neighbor as ourselves, and oftentimes we don't love ourselves as well as we love other people. We need help. We need the power of the love of God that took on flesh and came to live among us. We need the power of the love of God that took all the vileness and the malice that we human creatures could throw at him. He took that weight upon his shoulders and he died forgiving for the good of us all. Intentionally bringing our daily lives to Jesus in an examine trains us to see with his eyes, to hear with his ears. We're sharing in his wise, loving judgment. I encourage you to try and examine this week. Bring the experiences of your day intentionally in the presence of Jesus. What you are genuinely grateful for, you thank God for. If you're not genuinely grateful for it, you have further spiritual work to do. In either case, we want to respond, don't we, in such a way that endurance, character, and hope are the fruits. To respond in such a way that Jesus' prayer becomes ours. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We want to experience what the choir sang about. Tear down the walls, tear them down. Either way, we want the love of God that's been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit to have its way in us. And so often our walls block God's love. We're too busy protecting ourselves. But deep down, do we not want the love of God to have its way in us? To love strong. To love strongly enough. To trust the love that is strong enough to fuel the grace that sustains us through our suffering. You know what? You're not the most expressive group I've ever spoken to. I'm getting a lot of blank faces. But you know what? I know you've experienced this. I know that you have suffered, right? Yeah. And we're here today to remind ourselves that it's not the worst thing that can happen to us. Refusing to love is, and the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and we have something to offer each other. We have something to accept ourselves. May we experience the richness that my high school students discovered that comes from going deeper than the surface, down through the layers of gratitude where we discover the radical, powerful, generous love of God who gives, who creates, who sustains, who delights in transcending evil with good. May we be willing to live our lives with the dignity and the resolve of those who are created in the image of God, who is love. May it be so. Amen. Remain seated as we respond to